nailed to that cross, that you bore our sins on that cross in your own body, that you took our punishment, our condemnation, our judgment on yourself, and you gave us free pardon of sin. You gave us eternal life as an exchange for your death. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you help us to see the brevity of your sacrifice, the deep love that you had while you were hanging on that cross for us. And Lord, I pray you'll also remind us of what our response needs to be to you, how we should think about that very act of sacrifice for our salvation. And Father, I pray this morning that you'll open our hearts to the message, to the good news of Jesus Christ. And I ask it all in his name. Amen. You know, as you see those three crosses in your mind, in your imagination, and you maybe visualize through your thoughts as Scripture opens up that picture of us, three crosses on a hill. And one of those crosses in the very middle cross was our Savior Jesus Christ hanging. Either side was humanity and what humanity represents and God's love for them. And so as we begin to think about those men on the cross, there's that first one I want to call to your attention. That's the man who redeems. It's Jesus Christ. And in his redemption and his love for us, that he would sacrifice himself, that he becomes our Savior, our Redeemer. Now listen, you might think, what qualified him to be our Redeemer? There are certain things that we need to understand about someone who is a Redeemer, especially Jesus Christ. First of all, if you look at the Scripture, you're going to see that a Redeemer is compassionate. Jesus Christ had a heart of compassion for us. The Bible says that when he was being reviled and rejected, when people were hurling all kinds of insults toward him, here's what Jesus said to the Father on our behalf. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." You see, Jesus saw those that were insulting him. He looked down from the cross on those who were reviling him, and Jesus saw their need. He saw them lost and separated from God, without hope apart from what he was doing that day on the cross. He saw these people, and he understood them, that they were blind and dead in the condition that they were in. You know, the Bible says that we were born in that condition. We're spiritually blind, spiritually dead. We can't see, we can't experience God until we come into that relationship with Jesus Christ and trust him as our personal Lord and Savior. Jesus looked on them and he saw them in that way. He loved them in spite of how they treated him. He realized that they needed more than anything to believe in him as their own personal Savior. You see, he was compassionate in that sense. But you know, God has called us as his children to be workers in this redemptive flow that God has for all of humanity. He's called us to be a part of his redemptive actions in this world today. He's called us to be messengers of this good news. He's called us to call out to others and invite them into relationship with Jesus Christ. And for you and I to be part of that redemptive work, for you and I to be a part of what he's doing, we have to be compassionate as well. Amen? I mean, we need to feel like he does and to be compassionate like he is and join him in what he's doing. You know, yesterday, I think Jackie and I were trying to listen to some of the ball games, some of the NCAA tournament games on the radio. Hadn't got home yet. We were listening to some of the radio, and so we turned it on a certain radio station we don't typically listen to. So we were listening to the radio, and then, that, of course, at timeouts, they have all kinds of commercials and things. So Jack and I both noticed after a while that, you know, we're kind of used to listening to Moody Broadcasting and WMBW and things like that. And all of a sudden, we started hearing these certain commercials about certain things we just weren't comfortable with, to be honest with you, and didn't, you know, hadn't really thought much about what the world's listening to, and in a sense, and probably in not a good way, we kind of separated ourselves from that in a sense, and now we were being reminded about the world that we live in and the people that need to know Jesus Christ. And so it really struck a chord in my heart that I've got to be more compassionate. I've got to be more understanding. I've got to be more ready to see the needs that people have, so that in compassion I can reach out to them. And that's what God is calling you and I to do today. That Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, is a compassionate Redeemer. He's someone who has a heart for those who need Him and who are, because of their lostness and their lost condition, that they need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And so a Redeemer is someone who's compassionate. Let me give you a second thing about a Redeemer also. Not only is a Redeemer compassionate, but let me just say to you, a Redeemer is committed. That Jesus Christ was committed to what the Father had sent Him to this earth to do. That the Bible says that even before the cross, that the days before the cross, the Bible says that Jesus set His face steadfast toward Jerusalem. In other words, He had an appointment to redeem human beings, and He kept that appointment. He was committed to it. And so we see on the cross that Jesus stayed committed to what God had called Him to. He stayed committed to the cross to finish the work of salvation. At any time, at any point, Jesus could have said, "Hey, I'm not going to do this," or "I'm going to come off the cross," but He didn't do that. You might remember that when Jesus was being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane that early morning before His crucifixion, that the disciples were around Him, and all of a sudden the soldiers, the temple guard, came after Him, and they arrested Him. And what did Peter do? Remember, Peter pulled out that sword and he lopped off the servant's ear. And Jesus had some choice words for him, by the way. But Jesus said, you know, that I could pray to the Father and He would send 12 legions of angels. If Jesus wanted to be rescued from the cross, He could have at any time. But He was committed to what the Father had sent Him to do. Really, as God's children, are we committed to what He wants us to do? Really? You know, there at the foot of the cross, they stole His last possessions, the Roman soldiers, and they gambled for who would have sole ownership of His things. When the crowd stood by and did nothing, they showed such apathy. You know, I wonder if we're not like those Roman soldiers that were playing games in front of the very cross that Jesus Christ died on. I wonder if we might be like that crowd just looking up with apathy. Maybe even thinking, wow, what a good man he was or is. What a great bunch of good things that he did. But I really don't want to get involved in this. I'm really not going to speak up on his behalf. Too many here that's against Him. Too many who are opposed. I think sometimes we have to check our commitment, right? That when they attacked Him, they attacked His very identity. You see, the crowd called out, "If He is Christ, the chosen of God, come off the cross." I wonder how many times we sit around, hear insults and people attacking the person of Jesus Christ, and we sit around quietly. And in our silence, we give our submission to it because we don't speak out on His behalf. You see, Jesus talked about what it is to be a disciple, about someone who never quits and someone who never gives up on Him. He said that if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Jesus says, if we want to be His disciple, He said later in Luke 14, He says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple." I didn't make that qualification. Jesus did. And He said, if we're not willing to take up our cross, and if we're not willing to follow Him, then don't claim to be His disciple. Don't claim yourself as someone who's following Him. You know, when Jesus said, "Take up your cross," what do you think He meant by that? A lot of speculation to that. What is the cross that Jesus is talking about is the big question that you and I need to ask. If Jesus says that we're to take up our cross and follow Him, then my question is, what is that? What's it look like? How's it personal to me? Or what can I do to fulfill what Jesus is saying? I want to be His follower. I want to be counted His disciple. And if that's taking up a cross, then I want to know what it's like. Let me tell you, it's not taking up a wooden cross beam and being nailed to it. That's not what He's talking about. for you and I today. That was His cross. He's talking about our cross today. What are we to take up in following Him as our personal Savior? Well, let me tell you, one of the things I know that it's personal. Whatever it is, it's personal, because Jesus says, take up, that if you want to be My disciple, that you must take up your cross, His cross. So it becomes a personal thing. For Jesus Christ, it was the cross of Calvary. That was God's will for Him. Jesus said of His own self, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was His cross. That was God's will for His Son's life, to come and be a sacrifice for our sins. And that was the cross that Jesus took up and bore. What's your cross today? What's God's plan for your life today? What's His will for you? What's He pouring into your heart? What burden do you have? What thing is it in your mind, in your heart, that you know that God wants you to do? Then that might be your cross today that He wants you to pick up. You may be sitting here today and say, I don't have a clue. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't have the first thought about that. Listen, you need to wake up this morning. You need to start asking God some real questions. Lord, what is it that You want me to do? You need to be in His Word, and you need to be searching His Word until you find out that thing that God wants you to do more than anything else in the world. And let me tell you, it's going to focus around Him. It's going to focus on Him, because He saved you and I to bring Him glory and to be His disciple. Right? Jesus says, if you want to be My disciple, so what God is calling you to do is going to be focused on Him and around Him. Now, it's personal. But let me tell you something else. It's pressing. Because He says, take up your cross daily. Not on occasions, or not when you're having some good days. You can't neglect it. You can't excuse it away. And you can't pass over it in your life today, because it's too important for you and I to know what that is, to be engaged in it, and to follow Him through it. You say, well, Brother Mike, I've got a lot of important things to do. I've got a lot of pressing things to do. My family's involved in a lot of things. I've got a pretty heavy workload. Then you need to quit your job. If you don't have time in your schedule to be about what God saved you and created you to be, then you don't need that job. You need to get another one. If your family is too busy for you to fulfill what God has called you to do, then you need to change your family's priorities. And if you're a husband, if you're the head of the household here today, if you're the spiritual leader in your home, then you've got to be the one to start it. You've got to be the one to do this thing, because it's too pressing not to do. Jesus says, if you want to be My disciple, take up your cross and follow Me daily. It's pressing. And then let me tell you something else. It's particular. Because He says, come after Me. Come after Me. How do we know how to come after Jesus Christ? How do we know where to find Him? How do we know what He's doing in this world today? Well, let me tell you, there's some parameters and qualifications we can put on that very easily. If we'll only get in Scripture and look at Jesus' life and what Jesus did while He was here on earth, we can get a pretty good parameter of what Jesus Christ wants us to do. Now, one of the things we better be assured of, that Jesus, when we're following Him, do you know where we're going to be following Him into? We're going to be following Him into people's lives, because that's where He spent most of His time. Jesus Christ spent most of His time building relationships with people. I mean, He had the 12 that was with Him that He developed a relationship with. He had an inner circle of that 12 that He developed even a greater relationship with. But everywhere He went, even when He met strangers, Jesus was all about building that relationship. Why? So He could begin to share about God and about salvation. You see, follow Him in that place today. How can you be involved in that today? How can you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we've got opportunities. If you'll open our bulletin this morning, you're going to find out that there's opportunities in this church for you to build relationships with people. We need a van driver on Wednesday night. Let me tell you, I drive the van on Wednesday night, and I pick the kids up to begin with. I've got some of the best relationships with these kids. I mean, I love them. They trust me. They'll talk to me when they have struggles. They'll come up, and if I see them out in Walmart, they'll come up and give me the biggest hug. If they're with their parents that I've never met before, they'll introduce me to their parents. Why? Because I've invested time to have a relationship with them. You can have that too. We need you today. We need guys in our nursery. We need workers in our children's church. All these are opportunities for you guys to build relationships, to follow Jesus Christ, and to be committed to that and finish that task that He's called us to. You see, a Redeemer is committed. If we're going to be involved in the work of redemption, we've got to be committed to it. Listen, half-heartedness isn't going to get us anywhere. Half-commitment isn't going to get us anywhere. You see, it's better not to do anything than to do it half-hearted. Well, let me give you a third thing about a Redeemer. And that third thing is this, is that a Redeemer is capable. Is capable. You see, the Bible says, if you look at verse 38, kind of a unique passage. It says, "And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews." Now listen, Pilate ordered this inscription to be written over Jesus Christ. And Pilate had this particular inscription written, and he had it written in the known languages of the day. There would not have been a single person at the foot of that cross looking up at Jesus being crucified and not been able to read what was written on that inscription. So everybody would have known that Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. Now, Pilate ordered that to be written because he was mocking the Jews. You see, initially Pilate wanted to turn Jesus loose. He wanted to let him go. But the crowd demanded that he be crucified. He be crucified. And Pilate says, "Okay, you want to crucify him? You're going to know who you're crucifying." So he had this inscription written. But what Pilate didn't even realize is that this very title that he'd given them is the very name of competency. Because He is the King. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There was only one person who could hang on that cross and redeem you and me. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He is the King of the Jews. And He's the King of the world. And He's the King of all creation. You see, He's capable to do what He needed to do and what he set out to do. You and I are capable to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to be active in what He's doing. Not because we're anything special, or not because we have anything unique to offer, but we're capable because of Jesus Christ and the fact that He makes us capable and able to serve Him. You may be here today and you're excited about thinking that Jesus Christ has something for you to do, that you want to follow Him as a disciple, that you want to pick up that cross and come after Him daily. And then the thought may strike you as, "Well, can I do that? Am I really able to do that? I've got this burden for this certain thing, and I don't know if I can really do it or not." Let me tell you, if God has placed that on your heart and He's calling you to do that, you can do that. He'll make you capable. He'll give you what you need. Listen to what He says. Do you remember? And here's some of the reasons why He'll do that. You see, because Jesus Christ has called you to be His disciple, He said, "Take up your cross and follow Him daily." Do you know what that means? If we're following Him daily, guess who's that we're companioned with? Guess who's with? If we're following Jesus Christ, you know, He's with us, right? I mean, if you're following somebody and you're in close proximity to them and you're following, guess what? You guys are together. Amen? Gosh, I didn't realize that, right? Well, let me give you a promise that Jesus made in Matthew 28:20. He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, you and I are capable because Jesus Christ is with us. The Bible says that when the Holy Spirit came, He indwelled every child of God, everyone who's believed in Jesus Christ. And He says that He lives in us. Not only is He always with us, and He'll always be with us, but He'll give us even the words that we need to say, right? He'll give us the things that we need to speak. He'll give us the very things that we need to defend our faith or to advance the faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus reminded the disciples in Luke chapter 12 when he said this. He says, "Now when they bring you to the synagogue and the magistrates and the authorities, do not worry how you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you that very hour what you ought to say." So you may be thinking, "Brother Mike, I don't, you know what? I've got this deep burden for somebody and I don't even know how to start up a conversation with them." Let me challenge you. Just put yourself together with them and let the Holy Spirit take over that conversation. And you'll have everything that you need to say when you share with that person. You say, "Well, Brother Mike, I'm kind of a quiet person. And if I drove that bus and all those kids on there, I don't know what I'd say to them." Don't worry. They'll say a whole lot, and then you'll know how to respond. Promise you, you'll know what to say. Don't worry about that. Don't let those things hinder you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're coming up on Vacation Bible School in a few months. And you know, you say, "Well, Brother Mike, I wouldn't know what to say to those guys." Well, let me tell you, put yourself in that place and see. God will speak on your behalf through you, and He'll give you what to say. You know, another thing also, not only will He be with you and give you what you need to say, but you know, the Bible says He'll reveal to you what you need to know when those times come. Jesus said this in John 16. He said, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine and declare it unto you." Do you know what Jesus is saying here? Is that don't worry. Say, I don't have a certain level of education. I'm just learning about Jesus Christ myself. I don't know how I would know what to do. Let me tell you, the Bible says God gives His Word, that the Spirit living in you as His child will give you what you need to know. He'll teach you those things and bring to your mind and your thought the things that you need to know. You see, we're capable and we're competent not because of anything about us, but it's because of Christ who lives in us. So don't worry. You may be thinking about taking a challenge or stepping up and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you may be the spiritual leader in your house and you say, "I don't know how to do that. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to begin. I don't know what I'm doing." Listen, trust God. Step out in faith. You see, do something. Take that first step and let God lead you in the rest of it. He'll lead you in those things. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the knowledge that you need. He'll be with you, your cheerleader, your helper, your encourager. He'll do all those things for you. But listen, it's not until we step out in faith and we begin that journey. Is He going to do that? Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow Him. As you begin to follow Him, you'll find out that you have a powerful, loving Savior who won't give up on you, who won't quit, who loves you, and who will give you what you need to finish what He's called you to do. You see, Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He's called us into the work of redemption to be His voice, His arms, His body here on earth to serve Him. And He'll make us effective of what we need to do. The real question is am I ready to follow Him? Am I ready to say, "Lord, here, I'm that disciple. I'm that one that's going to take that challenge and come after You and to follow You." I want you to bow with me this morning. We're going to pray this morning. Father in heaven, we're so thankful today that we have a Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. That Your love for us, Lord, is deeper than the sea, and it's higher than the most farthest galaxy in all of Your creation. that your love and your compassion toward us is so strong that it held you to the cross until that work of redemption was finished. And that as you as Redeemer, Lord, that you are always able, and you're the only one that's able to save us. But Lord, I know that when we become yours and when we believe on you as Lord and Savior, that we're part of this great thing. If we've experienced your great love, then we're a part of sharing your great love with the world today. Lord, give us a heart and give us eyes to see people that are hurting, that are needing life and needing sight, hope. Lord, help us to realize that if we share your love, there's always going to be opposition. It's going to be those who are going to be critical. Those are going to be hard. Those are going to be hard-hearted. But Father, help us to have a heart for you and a love for others. Father, you said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love our neighbors, ourselves. Give us that kind of compassion, Father. Lord, help us to see that this work of redemption has to be finished. It's a work that needs to be completed. Lord, you completed the sacrifice, but you've called us to be ones who share. Lord, help us to be willing and realize how important it is. Father, give us what we need to be effective and to be a blessing to others. Lord, I don't know what you want to do here this morning, how you want to touch our hearts or how you want to challenge our lives today. But Lord, I pray that you would speak, that you would shout into our spirit the very truth of what happened to you on the cross. Father, I pray that if we need to believe on that sacrifice that you've made for us, to trust you. Pray, Lord, that might be our decision this morning. But Lord, I pray that you'll take this time of invitation and that you would give us the courage to respond as we need to here in this place this morning. Father, I ask it to be in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you this morning as we're standing together here this morning. You know, through the Word of God this morning, we saw with our eyes and saw as God painted that beautiful picture of His own one and only Son being crucified. How that in all the ugliness of what happened to Jesus Christ and all the ridicule and all the insults and all the pain that He endured and that He went through, that all that was on His mind was you. That He was dying for you and He was dying for me. And He endured all those things so He could bring it to a finish, so that anyone here this morning in 2018, 2,000 years after His death, could come with absolute assurance and absolute confidence and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive His gift of salvation. The Bible says, "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus Christ died for your right to come this morning and your opportunity to come this morning and believe on Him as your personal Savior today. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you're not sure if you died today that you would be with Him in heaven, listen, why don't you come this morning? Why don't you meet me here in front of the church this morning? Let me just share with you a few verses of Scripture and to share with you how you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive that gift of salvation. God is looking on all of us this morning with great compassion and love. He loves you with all of His heart. And with all of His life, He loved you. He wants you to come to Him and to know Him. You may be here today and you say, hey, I'm a child of God. I believed, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was so-and-so or at such-and-such place or when I was going through this or that. I remember believing on Him as my personal Lord and Savior. But let me ask you a question this morning. Are you following Him? Right? Are you following Him? Or is there something else that's kind of moved your eyes off of Him and you're going after that? Maybe it's just life. Just busyness, just your schedule is full of everything and there's really no room for Him. Let me ask you a question. Isn't it time this morning that you rethought where you're going? That you rethought what you're thinking about? You rethought where your heart is today? Maybe it's time for you just to come and say, hey, Lord, from this day forward, I want to follow You. I'm going to come after You. I'm going to find out what You're doing, and I'm going to join You there. And I'm going to follow You and not anything else. Making a decision for You to recommit my life to You today. Maybe other decisions to follow Him in baptism or come and join this church this morning. You can do that as well. But listen, all these things are first steps to that lifelong following of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, the disciples followed Jesus in a physical way for about 3.5 years. And I bet if we could have Peter here this morning, we'd say, hey, Peter, what was that 3 years like? Peter would probably tell you there's nothing that's ever been like that before. And Peter might go on to say, you know, but it's just not that 3 years. It was the rest of my life. Because I kept following Him and following Him and following Him. And He led me into greater things. Things that have no value that this earth can attach to. And things that bless me beyond measure. Is that the testimony of your life today? If it's not, then why don't you follow Him this morning? Start that relationship, that step with Him.